Hey, so this is kind of a prelude. We've got our Holy Spirit conference coming up, and this is something, because I wasn't here last week, that God's been stirring on me for 2 weeks now concerning spiritual gifts, because when we have this coming on, I mean, maybe you have questions about the Holy Spirit. You're not going to want to miss this. If you don't have questions, let me say, maybe you've never even considered about spiritual gifts. What are they? What do they do? You may have never even thought about it. I mean, let me tell you, before I got exposed, I never thought about it. Can I tell you there's things that I never think about, like the Kardashians? I don't care, right? The only reason I think about them is to use them as a sermon illustration, but that's it. Other things I never think about is escargot. I never go to a restaurant and, like, I wonder if they got snails. Right? I don't care. It's not something I think about. So maybe you haven't ever thought about spiritual gifts. Some of you have been taught about spiritual gifts, some correctly. How many of you know there's some incorrect teaching out there? All right, we want to be biblical. And again, like I said, maybe you've never been taught anything. Maybe you don't know anything about it. So, like I said, this is something that we want to talk about as we get to that moment. But I'm gonna try to go through the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. So you guys pray, y'all get ready for this. But I want to learn some things about spiritual gifts. And Paul starts out at the very beginning, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." How many of you know when you start a sentence out like that to say, "Hey, listen, about this, I don't want you to be ignorant"? How many of you know it's implying that there's some ignorance? Yes. Right? There's a lack of knowledge that is going there. So as we jump right into this message, I want to give you six things. First of all, the Holy Spirit gifts are often misunderstood. I mean, people have all kinds of views because of things they've heard, the things they've been taught. Can I tell you, if you were going into college and you took an advanced math class, which Joshua, is my son in here or is he with his babies? He just went out. Oh man, he's missing something. He didn't even know I was going to do this. He got his master's degree in science and mathematics. I mean, he talked about doing differentials in math. Anybody, how many of you guys have done that? All right, there's a few hands, not many of them, and I didn't even know what it was. I still don't understand it, but I found this differential equation online, and I don't even understand the question itself. It says, "In each of the following cases, use a theorem of this section to determine whether or not the given differential equation has a periodic solution." How many of you are like me, like, what? If he came in here... And, you know, he teaches at the colleges, and if he came in here and handed out a test to all of us, let's be honest, how many of you would fail from the beginning? Yeah, look at that. And so if all of a sudden he came to his class, everybody failed, then he might start a class off the way, same way 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, but he would do it like this. "Now, concerning differential equations, students, I don't want you to be ignorant." By Professor Joshua. So... And then he would begin to teach about that, right? That makes sense. And what I want to say is it's not insulting to not know something. It's not insulting to be ignorant on different topics, because all of us are, unless you happen to be one of the know-it-alls. No, I don't think so. There's things we just don't know. You don't want me working on your brain, right? I'm not a brain surgeon. Right, there's a lot of things we don't know, and that's okay. That's why we learn. That's why we continue to grow in everything. So because many people have either not been taught about spiritual gifts, or maybe possibly taught wrong, or maybe just need a reminder. How many of you know sometimes we just need a reminder? That's why I believe that this topic is hugely important. Now, I want to give some clarification, because if you didn't happen to know, how many of you know Freedom Church, we believe in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that they're still active today, and they help us in three different ways. They help us personally, right, in our personal connection and relationship with God. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray and when we don't know what to pray. Is there anybody here that always knows what to pray? All right, the scripture says, hey, listen, when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes through us. So there's things personally the Holy Spirit does. Corporately, the Holy Spirit helps us as a body of Christ to grow. And evangelistically, how many of you know the Holy Spirit? I don't want to go into this world without the Holy Spirit. Right. Remember when Moses was about to enter the promised land and God says, "You go ahead, I'm not going." He's like, listen, if you don't go, God, I'm not going. All right? And so that's me. I don't want to live this life without the Holy Spirit. And the early church needed the gifts of the Spirit in the same exact way we need the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? We're not like all of a sudden super Christians. We got it figured out. So let me give you a little background on the Corinthian church. They had all of the spiritual gifts operating in them. They had everything. However, there was a slight problem, is that they didn't completely understand the correct operation. They used the gifts inappropriately. And if you've been in churches where the gifts operate, I've seen it operate in the right way. I've seen it in the wrong way. All right? It's just a matter. That's why I believe some churches are like, no, no, we don't want any of that because someone might do it wrong. Well, you know what? That's why we have correction, right? That's why we learn in that. So he says this in the beginning of Corinthians, before he ever gets to chapter 12, he goes, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You've got all of them going. So, but we all, if you have a tool that is used incorrectly, how many of you know you can often misuse it? It's just a reality. Here's an example of something that I bet 90% of us have misused at one time or another, right? A screwdriver, right? The twisty, turny, thingy, lefty-loosey. Like, anybody ever used a screwdriver for anything other than putting in a screw or taking one out? Come on, let's be honest here. All right, anybody ever use it to pry something open, to chisel something, you know, all kinds of ways. That's why it's the punch, pry thingies, jabby, stabby, pokey, bendy. It's like, what's that last word? I've been injured by using it incorrectly. Let's be honest, right? It's like, man, I'm going to get it, and all of a sudden it slips, and next thing you know, I'm bleeding. Because I used it inappropriately. Can I tell you, in the same way, it's very common for people to misuse the gifts of the Spirit. It's very common. It happens. So Paul's going to teach them. So right after he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts, verse 2, he says, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or another, you were influenced, led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking how? By the Spirit. I was going to say, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Now, he's not talking about saying those exact words. That's not what he's saying. He's basically saying that if somebody is speaking through the Spirit, that here's the number 2 in your notes, it's always going to glorify Jesus. Does that make sense? It's always going to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit has not come to glorify himself. He has not come to glorify some special ministry, some special church, some special speaker. He's come to glorify Jesus. And I think that is so important. If a specific church or individual is taking glory for anything that the Holy Spirit is doing, like, oh, I mean, we were at a church years ago where the guy got up on the, and he's like, who's the prophet here? I'm the prophet. He was declaring that. Colleen and I were like, ah. What is wrong with that? He's pointing to himself in that. Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. Amen. Always points to Jesus. Always uplifts Jesus. How many of you know the scripture says that, if we take glory, how many of you know you are taking something away from him? There are scriptures that says God will share his glory with us, but that's totally on him. If he wants to share it, I didn't deserve it. It's kind of like if you have French fries, men, and your wife says, I don't want any, but all of a sudden she's like, takes your French fries, right? How many of you know there's a difference between taking and sharing? You guys know it. Some of you guys know it. I don't need any. Oh, let me have some of those. It's like, wait, I would have gotten you some if I knew that you were going to take mine. So, just to give you an illustration, taking, we don't take God's glory. There's times that he may share it with us, and let me tell you, that's him. But we don't ever take anything. I want to tell you that when the Holy Spirit is speaking, it always glorifies Jesus, always reveals Jesus, always exalts Jesus, honors Jesus. I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit is moving, you should fall more in love with Jesus. Does that make sense? Always. And listen, you can be in a spiritual environment that I believe is contrary to the glory of Jesus. You can be in something that maybe you're like, oh man, I just felt the Spirit moving. But if somebody else is getting glory in it, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not there. You guys hear me? And you may come away and say, wait a minute, you know, but it felt like I felt something moving. I just want to tell you, there are counterfeit spirits in our world. That's right. There are many counterfeit spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. Amen. And I think what Paul is trying to teach is that, listen, when the Spirit is moving, if you're not drawing closer to Jesus, that's the wrong spirit. And there's some weird stuff going on in our world. I just want to tell you that. Let's move to verse 4. And I got it separated this way for a reason. I think you can figure it out really quick. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So there's a lot of differences there, but how many of you know there's a lot of same there at the same time? Different gifts, different service, different workings, all of those things, different ways expression happens. How many of you know everybody in here does not worship God the same way? Some people are a little more reserved. Some people are a little more expressive. We have different talents, different, you know, different languages. All of that because guess what? We are all different. Surprise, surprise, right? All of those things are different, but guess what? It's all the same Spirit. It's all the same God that is working and moving. And I believe Paul's point he's making to the Corinthians, because remember, they had all of the gifts operating there, is that sometimes they use their gifts and it brought division amongst the body. And that still happens today. Listen, if you get in a situation where the gifts are separating and establishing some people as the super Christians, there are no super Christians in Christ. There are no super Christians. There are not the ones like, oh man, I'm the gifted one. I'm the amazing one. I'm the one that's going to be on TV and write all the books and you guys all get to listen to me. You know, there are people that God puts in positions like that. But let me tell you, sometimes it almost makes other people feel like, well, I'm just the peasant. I'm the little gifted one. I don't really have much to offer. And people feel like they just don't have anything to give. Because they separate, there's those people, and this is just me. I just don't have what they have. And so people are afraid. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit does not create categories of Christians. Each and every one of us have the same access to God, amen? We all have the same Spirit that is working in us. So that leads me to point number 3. The Holy Spirit is the great equalizer. He brings us all to the level ground, all the same. Look at back at what Luke says in Luke chapter 2. He says, in the last days, how many of you guys believe we're in the last days right now? All right, I'll tell you, the more and more things that happen in our world, the more I realize, oh Lord, you got to be coming soon. But this is what he says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on who? All people. And you know, you may not think that's a big deal, but in the Old Testament, only prophets and kings were usually only ones, and the Holy Spirit just came and rested on them. There wasn't on the inside. But he says, I'm going to pour my Spirit on all people. Check out, he begins to describe what all people. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young men will see vision. Old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit on those days, and they will do what? Men and women. Right, women, if you're ever told that you just need to sit down and shut up, you can't have a word to say, let me tell you, it's not what the word says. You have gifting. So why is that even significant that this prophecy was written? And I believe that it was fulfilled because in those days, the only one that really ever got to be used by God was a Jewish man 13 years old or older. That was it. But now that the Spirit of God has come, everybody, not just a Jewish person, all people, Jews and Gentiles, right? And if you don't know what a Gentile is, it's anyone that's not a Jew, right? That's a little bit bigger. Men and women, boys and girls, young and old, slave and free, God is pouring out His Spirit. Like I said, I say this all the time. When it comes to the cross, we are all on that level ground. No one's up higher than anybody else. So he is the great equalizer. It's like, hey, listen, we're all in Christ. We're all in this together. So verse 7, he continues and he says, now to what? Each one. Everybody, how many of you guys here are in each one? Right? That's everybody. Anybody happens to be watching online, we're all in each one. To everyone, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God gives us these gifts so not so that we can keep it to ourselves like the gift of healing. Can you imagine? Well, God's given me the gift of healing, so I'm just going to stay home and I'm just going to pray for myself. Let me anoint myself with oil. Be healed in Jesus' name. I mean, you can pray for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But how many of you know the gift is for the common good? Right? The gift of prophecy is not so that you can go home and prophesy to yourself. Well, Pastor Scott, I got a word for you. What is it? You know, you get a little crazy there. The Lord would say to you, no, you don't prophesy to yourself. If God gives you a word, it's for other people. Right? It's for other people's. It's not for you to indulge in it. So that's number four. The Holy Spirit gifts are a tool. How many of you know the gifts of the Spirit are not the Holy Spirit? All right, we get that. They're just tools that God has given us to be able to function. And they're given to us for the common good. God gifts each one of us for a reason to be able to help other people. And I believe that we have to use these gifts wisely. We have to use them wisely. How do we use them wisely is by serving other people. That's how you use the gift that God has given you. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great, I love this word, variety of spiritual gifts. How many of you know God's got a variety? I know we have lists that we see in the New Testament, but I believe that none of those are exhaustive lists. God has more than that, but from a variety of great spiritual, and what does he tell us to do? Use them well to do what? Serve one another. And I believe that Jesus is the greatest example of what that means. Like when it came time, he was at that Last Supper, and what did he do? He took off his nice garment, he put on a towel, and he began to wash feet. He says, whoever wants to be the greatest in the kingdom, God needs to be the servant of all. Like learning to be a servant. And let me just say, and I don't want to pick, but there's another church. We've been to a lot of different churches where literally the pastor and his wife, and it looked like two thrones that would sit up on the pulpit. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else ever seen something like that? So I don't want to pick. A little bit maybe, but they would sit there and they had a potluck and they just both sat in their throne and people would get their food and bring it to them. Wow. And I'm like, you know, there's another one of those, that's not for me, right? We've had a lot of those moments. Let me just tell you, listen, if you want to be great, instead of like going for this, how many of you know we need to go for this? Amen. Right? Find a towel, find a place to serve, find somebody to serve. Not like, oh, I've got a calling on my life. Listen, if you can't wash a foot, you don't need to be up here. Amen? If you can't serve other people, and I'm not just talking about serve, well, I'll serve the good people. I'm talking about anybody. I want to tell you, we have not served in a church that we have not cleaned toilets in. All right, we've cleaned them here. We've cleaned them in our church in Chico. We cleaned them in Texas. We cleaned them in Colorado. Let me tell you, there's not a position that I'm too high for. Right? You serve other people. That's what we're called to do. And like I said, that's biblical leadership right there. That's what God is called to do. It shouldn't be, let me just say this, it shouldn't be hard for a church to find people to serve other people. But it is because we're like, well, you know what? I don't do it. Listen, the Holy Spirit has gifted you to be a servant. Amen? Whatever it is, whatever God is. So let me just say this, that sometimes we can neglect the spiritual gifts. I've heard people say, well, I don't have any gift. Well, listen, if all you do with your gift is put it in your pocket, then you may never discover what your spiritual gift is. You got to step out and start using it. And I believe that if you're faithful, you know, the scripture says if you're faithful in the small things, he's going to put you in charge of more. I believe that principle works in every aspect. If you're faithful in the small service projects that you have, and let me just say, there's really nothing small in the kingdom of God. But if you're faithful with what you've got, God's going to bless you with even more. Amen? More things he's going to entrust in you. So we can neglect the gifts. We can abuse the spiritual gifts two different ways. Number one of them is by neglect. If I just neglect them, how many of you know that's wrong? And let me just say, there are some churches that teach and, you know, oh, you know what? And the scripture says, doesn't it say don't forbid tongues? You know, prophecy, don't like scorn it, you know, oh, you know what, we don't do that stuff. Listen, that's a form of neglect, but so, or that's a form of abuse, but so is me not ever using my gift. right? The other way that we can abuse it, and listen, we can be guilty of that, is using it for our own glory. Right? Just like the guy that got up there. Or you know, you don't even have to be that obvious. You can just be, you know, oh yeah, I have this gift, you know, and you can get a little bit of a pat. Listen, if it's a gift, you didn't do anything to deserve it. It's a gift. How many of you know a gift is a gift? You didn't do anything, but God entrusted you with it. So we don't want to be guilty of abusing the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's move on. Verse 8. He says, to one, and notice how many all the same and one Spirit it says. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the what? Same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. Still to another interpretation. Verse 11, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to, there's that word again, each one just as he has determined. Amen? So again, and this is kind of the same point, but a little bit different. Number 5, the Holy Spirit is a unifier. There shouldn't be division in the church. And if you see Paul's point, you know, there are groups, like I said, that do not believe that the gifts, that they expired at apostolic times. Other groups, like us, we believe that the gifts are still here. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss Paul's point. What is his point here? That really, no matter what gift you have, it's all by the same Spirit. Right? Can I put it another way? If what I'm saying here is if there's groups that don't believe the gifts, how many of you know they're not your enemy? And for those of us that do believe in it, we're not the enemy of them either. We're not, that it's not even competition. God has gifted everybody with different things. If you're preaching Jesus, how many of you know God is using that church? Amen. God is using it. Nobody's better than anybody else. And I think that sometimes people have taken the list and created factions out of it. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, denominations. Denominations are not bad unless you start thinking you're the only one that's right. Does that make sense? They're not a bad thing. There was a time when they were more divided. But I thank God that we can appreciate the differences in different churches and not feel like you've got to be like me. It just doesn't work that way. So the factions, we get it like, oh, the haves and the have-nots. There is, you know, God works in all of us, and I think we need to get that. So he lists these 9 gifts. I guess I'll go over them. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gifts of faith, healing, power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation. Sometimes we call those the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. How many of you have heard that? Oh, those are the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. But can I say, I think we make a mistake when we say that. Because we have this idea of our life, and 90% of our life, oh, you know what, my work, my washing my clothes, doing the things that I need to do, that's 90% of it is operated in the natural. But you know what, there's 10% that's supernatural. You know, I need the gifts. I need these gifts operating in my life. But then there are those that don't believe it, and they're like, well, I don't need that 10%. I'll just live in the natural and just trust God. I believe that both views are wrong. Both views are wrong because I believe Paul's theology is that once you've been filled with the Spirit, number 6 in your notes, that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live 100% Spirit-filled, supernatural life. Does that make sense? 100%. I mean, how many of you know, I don't just need the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. I need the Holy Spirit on Monday morning. Amen. When you got to go to work and you don't want to get up, how many of you need the Holy Spirit when somebody cuts you off in traffic? Come on, let's just get real here. Like, hey, you know what? I'm about to do something and the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. Anybody ever need the Holy Spirit when you're on Facebook or something like that? Like you almost wrote something and the Holy Spirit says you better delete that. You better not send that. Friday night, I don't know what people do on Friday night, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit with you on Friday night, you might be doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Right? If you're in a relationship that you know you're not supposed to be in, then you may have the Holy Spirit like convicting you. And we have to be careful. I believe that Paul believed that everything that we do as a believer is supernatural from beginning to the end. Amen. We need him all the time. And you notice there's these nine gifts, but before the chapter is even over, verse 28, he gives us another list. In the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, workers of miracles, those that have gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and speaking in different kinds of tongues. So there's another list. And what I want you to catch is this, that he puts apostles and prophets right next to teachers. What is he saying about that? Is that I believe that teaching is just as supernatural as giving a prophetic word, right? Just as supernatural as the apostle. Well, let me just say this. Teaching ought to be as empowered by the presence and the power of Holy Spirit. It ought. I know it's not always. Let's just be honest. Anybody can teach. Isn't that true? I mean, I went to Bible college. Yeah, I got my degree. They taught me how to construct a sermon. Like, here's the end. This is how to exegete a passage. This is how to get your points and your sermon illustrations and all of that stuff. I left all of that behind. But I could put together, because I got like 6 points, so they would be freaking out. All of that, you can teach, but you can also teach without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what I'm talking about, right? You've been in a situation where maybe you're getting information, but there's a difference when the Holy Spirit is empowered the words, amen? I want to give you an example. How many of you guys have heard of D.L. Moody before? Dwight L. Moody. Look at all those hands. If you didn't, I mean, the Moody Bible, he was a great man of God. You know, he passed away in 1899. I've been reading a book, and I found this quote in it last week, so I get to use this quote on you. But this is what he said. He goes, "I remember two holy women used to come to my meetings. It was delightful to see them in the congregation. And when I began to preach, I could tell by their expression on their face that they were praying for me." He goes, "At the close of Sunday evening service, they would say to me, 'We've been praying for you, Pastor.' And I said, 'Well, why don't you pray for these other people?' They answered, 'Well, you need power.' And his question, 'I need power? Why, I thought I had power.' He goes, I'm reflecting. He goes, 'I had the largest Sunday school and the largest congregation in all of Chicago.'" I mean, he was the mega church pastor back then. And he says, "As I would preach," he said, "there were some conversions." So some people received the Lord as a result of it. That's a good thing. But, and he says this, "And I was in a sense satisfied. Had the biggest church, had some conversions." But then he says this, "But right along, these two godly women kept praying for me, and their earnest talks about being anointed for special service set me thinking. I asked them to come and talk with me, and when we got down on our knees, they poured out their hearts that I might receive the anointing from the Holy Spirit. And there," look at this, "there came a great hunger." How many of you know, if you don't have a hunger for more, we were up here singing, "I want more, I want more." Listen, if you're like, I mean, let me just say, in a way, we already have everything that God has for us. We just don't access it. Right? Everything that God wants to give us, when you accept Christ, it's right there. But a lot of times, we just keep the cabinet shut. So in a way, when we're saying, "I want more," we're basically saying, "God, have more of me." Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Have more of me. But he says, where was I even at? He goes, I started to get hungry. I know that's in my, right here, I lost it. Oh, okay. "There came a great hunger into my soul." He goes, "I didn't even know what it was. I began to pray as I never did before. And I really felt that that I didn't even want to live if I could not have this power for service." And he says, "The hunger increased. I was praying all the time that God would fill me with his Holy Spirit." And he says, "Well, one day in the city of New York," and he goes, "Oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. Paul had an experience of which he never spoke of for 14 years. He goes, "I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I asked him to stay his hand on me." And then he says, "And I went back to preaching. The sermons were not different. I didn't present any new truth, yet now hundreds are being converted." I want you to think about that. He's preaching the same messages. You can preach a message, a gospel. You can give the gospel. The gospel message is going to come back, right? God's going to use it, but there's a difference in spirit-empowered preaching and teaching. Amen? And he goes, he says this, I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you gave me all of Glasgow, it would be as the small dust on the balance. He's saying, basically what he's saying, he goes, I wouldn't trade it for anything. He began to hunger for more. And let me tell you, God began to use him in a different way. Amen. So, yes, teaching should be spirit empowered. Look at what else this list says. Put apostles and prophets right now. Oh, down right here. Workers of miracles and healings are right next to helping and administrating. Right? You're like, wait a minute, what? What? How is there a difference? Is one more important than the other? Absolutely not. They're both important. I think the modern context is this, is that like maybe you're in a service and the Spirit is moving, miracles are happening. Can I tell you that's just as supernatural as the person changing the dirty diapers in the nursery? Amen? Or the person that's on PowerPoint, hi artist back there, I know you don't like me. Or the people greeting, right? Or Randy, where is he at? I picked on him in the first service. He's back there. He's Mr. Administrator. Let me tell you, administration is a gift. It's not like, oh, I'm just good at this. No, if you're good at it, maybe it's because God put that gift in you. Let me tell you, I do not have the gift of administration. Never put me in administration because I will wreck it all. Or even the person that's helping at the county fair, you know. How many of you know? That's a gift. We don't want to just go out there and do something. We want the Holy Spirit to go with us. Amen? And so, listen, if you can't make it there, I want to encourage you to pray that God's presence would be there. Right? And it empower us in those conversations. I believe that every place is just as important, just as spirit-empowered, whether it's in the church or whether it's in your job. The things that God has called you to do, and if you're doing it well, that's the Holy Spirit. And you need to recognize, listen, the reason I'm doing good is not because like, man, I'm just really good at this. It's because God has put that gift in you. And begin to lean on him. Lean on him in your job. Lean on him in the functions that you have in life. Lean on him. If you're a mom, lean on him as, Lord God, I want to be a good mom. I need your presence. I need your spirit to be able to do this. Amen? Does that make sense? Here's the thing. I believe that everything we do is empowered of the Holy Spirit or nothing is. Amen? Either everything is or nothing is. There is no super gift. We don't elevate one person over another. And let me just say, those two aren't the only list. Ephesians 4 talks about apostles, prophets, again, next to pastors and teachers. Which one's more important? All right, we got evangelist Tim Enlow coming. Is he more important? Am I more? No, everybody working together, amen? That's how the body is supposed to function. Healings and helping are right there. Those are spirit, helping set up chairs, helping clean toilets, helping pick weeds, helping whatever it is. That is a gift of the Spirit. And we've got to realize that God gives us. It's not just the nine spectacular gifts that we talk about. I believe it's all the ways that God empowers us as his body to help serve other people. Amen? All the different ways that it happens. So the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and all of its parts are many. They form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized one spirit into one body. This is important. It's easy to gloss over. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one spirit to drink. Amen. What does that mean? Listen, I grew up in the South, and there was a time that blacks and whites had separate water fountains. All right? How many of you guys, you know, I don't know if it was in California like that, but it was like, that's crazy. There is no separation. Like, we all drink from the same spirit. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, what color you are, what's going on in your life. We are all empowered by the one and the only Spirit. Amen? Amen. So that's important. That's important for us to understand that Paul's saying this because you realize the Roman world, 2/3 of the Roman world were slaves. So to neglect slaves, and it's like, thank God that's not the case now, but that's how it was. And I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, 14 through 26, and I'm going to just summarize it real quick. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And I just want to say, I don't care what you may feel or what people tell you, you are indispensable in the kingdom of God. You are indispensable. I want you to catch that. You are needed. And he says, all the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. All the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined all the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division. Look what he said, no division in the body. And each part should have equal concern for one another. Amen. And he says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Listen, this is diversity before DEI was come around, isn't it? And it's not a diversity of like, oh, you know what? Okay, I'll love you because I got to. Jesus says I got to. All right. It's not I love you because I have to. It's more like this. We need to understand it's I need you. Right? I need you. I know this may be a little cringy, but turn to somebody and say, I need you. Right? I know it's like, oh man, that feels awkward. We need each other. Do you realize that? Especially, I think more and more in the world that we're living in, we need to understand this concept of what Paul's saying. Listen, I'm not just tolerating you. I really need you in my life. You're needed in the church. We need each other. You know, the philosophy of our world says, I don't need anybody. I've heard Christians that say, hey, listen, I don't need the church. I don't need other Christians. All I need is Jesus. Yeah. And you heard that? All I need is Jesus. Can I tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. We need each other. If you think about that you don't need any other body, then you're going to be separated and alone. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is that common denominator in our life. He connects us with each other. Without others in the body of Christ, guess what you are? You're just an amputated limb. Think about it. Cut off, dead, decaying. If you lose a limb in an accident, guess what? It doesn't go on living. Years ago, and I don't remember it, I was too young for it to kick in long-term memory. I think I've told you guys this before, but my sister and I were playing, and she challenged me to put my finger in a bicycle chain and go around the socket. And I did it, and I lost this half of this finger. It was hanging on. My mom says, they may be watching, but and it's my sister's birthday, so happy birthday for cutting my finger off. So, She was young too. She was only a year older than me, but it was hanging on, and I know that's gross, right? I still have the scar that's there. We got to the doctor. The doctor got it back on. It healed. It functions normally now. Thank you, Jesus. I don't remember it, but can I tell you how many people have separated themselves from the body of Christ? If that finger didn't get reconnected, then, you know, you could call me Stumpy or something. I don't know, but... It's like, what happened to your finger? And I'd have to tell the whole story again. But I think sometimes the Holy, you know, those doctors that put it back together, I believe are like the Holy Spirit that reconnects us to his body. And sometimes people have gotten disconnected from the body. And my little finger could have said, you know what, don't connect me again. That's where I got hurt. I got hurt, connected to that body. Just let me hang out here by myself. I don't need anybody else. I don't need anyone else. I want to tell you, we need each other. Because who knows, that tip of my finger would have been dead and gone long ago. But God wants to connect you back. Amen. He says in verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body. And I love this. Each of you are a part of it. And I'm gonna jump here towards the end, because this is what God's called us to do. And we've got over these next couple of weeks, and I believe, you know, we plan things, we get things. This Holy Spirit conference, I don't believe was an accident. We didn't plan it. It happened because Tim Enlow had a cancellation. He was going to Indonesia, and he's like, hey, listen, I'm like, hey, we'll take one of the dates. And he's coming here, and interesting that it's a week before our county fair outreach, and I believe that's God's plan. Remember, how many of you guys, who knows the Great Commission, can just quote it to me? Matthew 28? Yeah, go into all the world, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, different version, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son. That's what we're doing with our fair outreach. I'm going to give you a couple of pictures of what we've done the last couple of years, and this is just all the people that come up to the booth. We've got, just crowds of people that are coming. We've got where's it at? There's David. Where are you at, David? He's back there. We have a little ploy. This is strategic, so we don't just give the kids a piece of candy. It's actually a candy craft. So they get to fill up. It's like the little pixie things with sugar in it. And what we're doing is stalling the kids with that craft long enough to engage in a conversation with the parents. And so there's a little game that's there, the little Plinko game, and they can win prizes that your tithe money helped purchase that. We're not just giving somebody an eraser and say, have a good day. We want to give a good prize. But all of that is just so that we can talk with people. All of that is just so that we can have a conversation with people. And there's Christina having a good... We had so many testimonies of good conversations. That's what we're doing. But here's the thing. That's what we're called to do. But guess what? When Jesus gave the Great Commission, go into all the world, guess what he said? Luke said it in Acts 1. Let me get to it. First of all, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He clarifies it a little bit more in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then I added that you will be my witnesses. How many of you know you don't want to be a witness without his power? God gives us supernatural power to do the things that he's called us to do. And so I think it very interesting that we have a Holy Spirit conference this next week. And I'm believing, you know, fresh power, a fresh touch from God, all of that we will be charged up and just full of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know, being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time thing. It's like, I want to be filled on a regular basis. God, touch me again. Lord, I need a fresh touch from you. So Saturday afternoon, this coming Saturday, everybody say this Saturday. From 2 to 5 in the afternoon, Tim is going to start talking specifically about the gifts because I just covered the reason for them. Why are we there? He's going to talk about how they function in the right way. Sunday morning is going to be a powerful Sunday morning. That night, Sunday night, we don't normally have. And listen, make an effort to come to every one of them. And you're like, oh, I don't like driving in the dark. Guess what? We're in June. It doesn't get dark till 8:30 or 9. All right, we don't have any excuses for it. And I know, oh, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I want to tell you, this is going to be an opportunity that can, and I understand people do vacations and whatnot, and that may already be planned, but you can watch online, all right? It's not going to be the exact same, but listen, God can touch us anywhere, amen? He can touch us anywhere. So that's one of my challenges. So on the backs, on your notes, you'll see over there, a way that I want to challenge you is begin to hunger for God. If you're not there, just come to God and say, God, I don't really feel any hunger, but Lord, I want to begin to hunger for you. Lord, begin to stir my heart. Because I like what D.L. Moody, he said, he goes, in a way I was satisfied. We can be content with the things God has in our life. How many of you know that's a good thing? Don't, oh, I got to get a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger that. No, be content with what you have. But I want to tell you, when it comes to your relationship with the Lord, we should constantly be hungering for more. God, I want more. God, I want more of you in my life. So here's the challenge. Read through the book of Acts this week, 28 chapters. You're like, oh man, that's a whole book. You can do it because you've read more than that on Facebook. All right? You know it's true. So Take 4 chapters a day. Start today. Read 4 chapters. By the time you hit Saturday, you'll have read. And I want you to take notice, because it says the Acts. Some books say the Acts of the Apostles. I think Acts is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit brought forth the early church. So as you're reading it, just say, God, let me see what's going on. Begin to pray. If you haven't been already, just say, God, maybe you have a need. You have something that you're asking God for, something you're believing God for. Maybe you're just saying, God, I want more power. I want more power. I want wisdom. Maybe you need a healing in your body. Maybe you need a miracle. You just want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Begin to ask God for that this week. And here's a chance, especially if you love food, fast one meal a day, fast one meal a week, fast one day. Thursday night, we have prayer here. This is my challenge. Take that day or a meal that night, and let you know, we're going to be praying Thursday night, 7 to 8, just 1 hour, and just say, God, we want you to move. We're asking for a miracle, amen? And then come every service you can. Sign up for a slime slot on the fair if you can make it. Listen, we're trying to get 3 to 4 people at every time slot, because you can't have 5 or 6. You're just too many people in the booth. And then my last one is just ask God to use you as a light in our community, in your job, in your going, in your coming, whatever it is that you're doing, not just like at the fair, but my everyday life. God, help me to be a light. Help me to be a light. I want your power in me, not just so that I can say, oh, you know, it kind of cracks me up, the guys that pump weights, and if you do, you know, and they get super big, and it's like, well, what for? I'm talking about the guys that can't even put their arm down, right? Like, what are you doing with that? Oh, well, I look good, right? I look powerful. It's like having a 4x4 that you never take off-road. Why do you got that? So we don't want we don't want the power of the Holy Spirit just so that we can go, oh, I got the power of the Holy Spirit, all right? We want it to be able to use to shine a light for other people. Let me tell you, salvation is always connected to the power. We don't get power for ourselves, we get power for others. Amen? So can I have everybody stand? And listen, the sign-up sheet's out there. For those going to the training, we got room, we got sandwiches, we got stuff for you. That will be right after. But I want to pray for you, and I wanted to close with this song that we ended worship, and make it a prayer. Set a fire down in my soul. If you don't have that fire, can I tell you, you can say, God, reignite that fire in me. Lord, I need a fresh fire. I need a fresh touch from you. Can we turn those lights off, Randy? And I guess this is going to be my prayer. My prayer is that you would just sing this and let that be your prayer. Amen? Amen? Go ahead, Timothy.